almost everything, and I'm happy now to say there's nothing like religion in the good old-fashioned way. I am walking in the old-time way, and I want the world to know that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. And there are many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. I've longed to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. 'Cause there's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. Yes, I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. And all the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought me out. I will tell the world both far and near as I travel here below that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. Yes, I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There are many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. I've longed to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I'd like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. 'Cause there's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. And I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian. On that last verse, all the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing and pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought me out. I will tell the world both far and near as I travel here below that I'd rather be an old-time Christian
than anything I know. I know of nothing to match it. Welcome to Open Bible Dialogue, Open Bible Telecast. It's good to come to you on this wonderful, wonderful resurrection weekend. Jesus alive from the grave. I know as we commemorate, he doesn't arrive from the grave until after sundown this afternoon. And then he appears at sunup tomorrow. I'm telling you, he is alive, friend. He's alive. And you know, because he has been resurrected, I have perfect assurance of my resurrection if I live in Christ. If I live in Christ. Now, today, we're really going to go to the heart of some important issues. We're going to talk about repentance. Listen to that word, repentance. I mean, that is one incredible word. I love to talk about it. I love to preach about it. Repentance. Now, I want to define repentance for you today, if the Lord will help me, in such a manner that there will be no one who doubts what repentance really is. I don't want nobody to doubt what repentance is when this broadcast is over, this telecast is over. Why don't you call some friends and get them to listen? And if you're on Facebook, hit that little button that says share. Share button. Do it quickly, right now. Do it, hundreds of you. And get this message to a multitude of good people who really need to hear it. Who really need to hear it. Who knows who needs to hear it? There are a lot of people who claim to be saved. They've never been born again. and you don't really know. You don't want to be a judge. You don't want to go around saying he is. No, I don't do that. I can't do that. But many times I have some strong emotions and some strong feelings, even strong discernment by the Holy Ghost. And so today, regardless of what side of the fence you own, I want to talk about repentance and what repentance really is, what it really is in the Bible. What is it really? Now, here's my theme. Repentance, turning from the self-life. Turning from the self-life. Now, we're going to talk about self-life in a little bit. We're going to talk about several little subjects that, you know, kind of envelop this whole great theme. And I'm praying that God gets a hold of you. What would be a better weekend for you to come to a genuine experience in Christ than on resurrection weekend? What would be a better one? You know, it used to be on, they call it Easter Sunday. I don't use that term. It really is not a biblical term, but I don't fuss with those who do use it. And I may use it a time or two so I can focus to you on what you understand. I want you to understand this is the weekend that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, you got to understand, if he wasn't resurrected, you're not going to be resurrected. So if he's in the grave, you're going to be in the grave forever. Now, that's not Bible, of course. We know that. The Bible makes it plain we're justified by his resurrection. We're justified by his resurrection. That's a plain statement in the Bible, by the way. And don't you doubt what's in that book. But I want you to understand, repentance is turning from the self-life. Turning from the self-life to the Christ life. Do you understand that? Turning from the self-life to the Christ-life. If you don't turn from self to Christ, you haven't been born again. You cannot be born again until you repent. I loved it when Billy Graham's son said the other day that his dad at the funeral said his dad preached repentance, turning away from sin. If you don't turn from sin, then you must not claim yourself a believer. You must not. And I'll give you scripture to back that up. And of course, we'll open the lines in a little bit and you can call. And any question you ask, I'll do my best to answer. If I can't answer, I'll give you a commitment that I'll be ready next Saturday to answer it, because I want you to know what the Bible teaches. And I want you to know it thoroughly. Now, until you repent, there cannot be a change. Until you repent, until you look at that old life and turn away from it. Now, I'm not talking about words now. I'm talking about action and words. Words and action. They both go together. What you say is what you are. What you are is what you say. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you're going to repent, you got to say it and you got to do it. Okay? You got to say it and you got to do it. God wants to hear you say, I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm turning away from those sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You don't do this by your own strength. It's not a power of man's ability. It is the redemptive power of the blessed Savior. He died that you might be saved. He died that you might repent and that you might have a new life. Now, the foundation of repentance is always godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. When you become godly sorrow of what you were, you become godly sorrow of what you may be right now. And you're godly sorrow. You're sick of it. You're tired of it. You're ashamed of it. You're fed up with it. And you're ready to turn to Christ with all of your heart. Now, when you're ready, you can. There's no such thing as limited atonement. I'm here to tell you, there's nobody listening to me that cannot be saved. There's nobody listening to me that cannot repent and cannot turn to Christ. There is no such thing as limited atonement when it comes to the human family. He died for you. He died for you. Whosoever will, let him come. Now, I don't know about you, but even till today, and I've been saved 66 years, I am still sick of what Joe Chambers is. I'm still sick of the capacity and the lack of capacity in Joe Chambers. I'm still sick of a nature from Adam that I must deal with every day of my life. I'm sick of that old nature. I cannot wait until I have a glorified body. I am excited about a glorified body, and I'm still sick of that old man, and I still live in repentance. You say, I don't live in repentance. I don't need to. That's probably a good sign you've never been born again. When you are born again, you know what you are not. And you know you can never be what you are not until His grace makes a new creature out of you. Are you hearing, Brother Chambers? Your dearest friend, I promise you. So I'm sick of what I am. I am sick of what I am. If you even think that you're so good that you can't be improved and that you don't need to repent, it's a pretty sad sign of your lack of Bible knowledge and your unwillingness to look at yourself. Look in the mirror. I mean, listen to yourself. Get somebody else to be honest with you and tell you what they see. I mean honest down to the core. I don't mean just almost, but I mean all the way. See, self-righteousness is a dark state to live in. And the world is full of self-righteousness. The Bible says your righteousness, listen now, this is the Bible, is like a filthy rag. Your best is like a filthy rag. Your very top is like a filthy rag. I mean, I'm telling you, it's His righteousness that makes me clean every day of my life, every moment of my life. I must live in repentance. I must live in a state of awareness of a nature in me that will take me to the pit if I don't be careful, that will take me to hell if I don't stay on course. I'm telling you, Apostle Paul said it, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He said, I want to say it and it didn't come out. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I keep this old self will down. I hold the grace of God and the Bible truths and the holy book over top of my old self life. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself. This is Paul talking now. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Don't take my word. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself. Paul said this now. Apostle Paul, that great stalwart of the faith, he said it himself. I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Every day of my life, I'm conscious that Joe Chambers could fail terribly. But I don't intend for him to. I intend to walk with God. I intend to live for Christ. I intend to be His holy. But I know to do that, I must constantly depend upon a righteousness that is in Him. A righteousness that is in Him. Hallelujah. Woo, it's a joy. I sit here with a feeling of greatness in my heart, of great joy in my heart, that He keeps me righteous, that He helps me daily and regularly repent. So self-righteousness is absolutely, absolutely a sick way to live. I know so many people over the country. I'm a holiness man. I live among holiness churches and holiness people, among people Pentecostal. The Pentecostals used to be, diehard holiness. Most of them have turned from that now, and they live a kind of free self life. And it's just it's the state of apostasy where the world has come to. But I see so many of the old timers who are so self-righteous, and they're so caught up in what they do not do, the things they've laid aside, and that's wonderful. Lay everything aside that's wrong, but don't make it make you think that makes you righteous. He makes you righteous, not what you put aside, but what He does in you. Not what you lay down. I don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't drink liquor, don't drink beer, don't drink wine, don't smoke cigarettes or cigars, or don't chew tobacco. Thank God, that'd be a horrible thing to have, that'd be captive to. And just think of all those things that you don't do, but don't think that makes you holy. He makes you holy. His blood washes and washes and keeps washing and sprinkles and sprinkles and keeps sprinkling. Oh, that's how we live. We live by the blood of Jesus. And that's why I'm preaching repentance to you today. I'm laying it on the line. You know I'm laying it on the line. I always do the best of my ability. Now, let's talk about this old human nature. Let's understand. Do you understand what is actually in your nature? The Bible said your righteousness is like a filthy rag. The Bible says we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Born in sin and shaken in iniquity. Do you know why Jesus was not conceived of Joseph, but was conceived of the Holy Ghost? Do you know why that Mary gave forth to a son that had no earthly father? So there was no seed of man that was placed in her womb. You know why? Because the seed of man has the seed of the nature of Adam. The seed of man has the seed of the nature of Adam. And every child conceived in a mother's womb has the seed of Adam except Jesus Christ. And that's why he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? That's a great Bible truth. I'm telling you, nothing in the world is greater than to know the blood of Jesus was free of the Adamic nature. Completely. He could not have died on the cross if there had been sin in his nature. But because there was no sin in his nature, he could die on the cross and be my substitute and take my place before an awesome God and be a substitute whereby I could be redeemed and I could be free of the nature of, not free of the nature until I'm glorified, of course, but free of the consequence of sin until the day I die. And then at the glorious resurrection, I'm going to have a new body, and that new body will have no nature of sin in it. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's three things to remember. You've got to be justified, you've got to live in sanctification, and the day comes you'll be glorified. Notice, justified, glorified, with this great space in between in which sanctification works. Sanctification is constantly to keep you living holy so that you can soon be glorified. And if you don't live in sanctification and let the blood keep you holy, you'll never be glorified. The only way the redeemed can be glorified is live in sanctification and stay holy and stay clean before God. Very, very important. Now, let me take you in your Bible to the book of St. John, chapter 3. The book of St. John, chapter 3. The same, this is Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, that no man can do the miracles which you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, hear those words. Don't take them lightly. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have no possibility of ever seeing the glory of heaven, the beauty of the New Jerusalem, ever seeing the face of the Son of God and the great triumphant Father sitting upon his eternal throne, if you're not born again. And that word born again means made a new creature. We're talking about repentance that turns you from sin to God. And as he redeems you, and as you repent, he makes a new creature out of you, and you become right with God. Is that clear? I want you to be right with God. Listen to me, my sinner friends, and hopefully there are thousands of you listening to me right now. The most wonderful thing that can happen to you is to repent and turn to Christ. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, I don't want to give up this and that and the other. I can understand that. Those are worldly pleasures that kind of keep your feet on the ground and keep you with a little something to live for. But what you don't understand is what you're living for in the world is far inferior to what you're going to live for when you become a believer. When you become a believer, you're going to have a new nature in here. So you're going to love different things, pure and holy things, righteous things. You're going to love the things you should have already been loving, but you couldn't because you was living in sin and you were captive to the devil and to that old flesh life. Oh, my friend, when he saves you because you repented, because you turned to him, that's what repentance is turning away from that and turning to that. Turning away from him, from the world and your own self and maybe people around you, and turning to him, the Christ of Calvary, the blessed Redeemer, the one who's resurrected. We celebrate tomorrow. The one who comes out of that tomb, glorious, blessed, wonderful, to live forever. Death had no hold on him. His body couldn't even decay, laying in that tomb for 3 days. There wasn't a skin worm in that tomb when Jesus came out of there. Well, I say in the tomb, certainly not affecting his body, and probably not even in the tomb, because where he was life, there was no death. Where he was life, there was no death. And so you can have that life. This is what resurrection is all about, is you having new life. But you got to turn from the self life. You can't have new life and self life at the same time. You cannot have new life and self life at the same time. You're going to turn from the self-life to the Christ, and that's what repentance is. I think that's as clear as I can make it. I think it's the clearest I've ever been able to make it. Oh, it just got all over me this week to help people understand the old self-life. To help people understand that old self-life. That self-life wants to have its way. That self-life wants to satisfy every appetite. That self-life wants to live in great wealth and wants to have all kinds of pleasure. That self-life wants to have its way, his way, her way. That self-life is bullheaded and determined. I'm telling you, bullheaded and determined. But Jesus wants to change it. He really does. Now, I want to read on. I got so much to say. I'm hurrying because I don't want to miss nothing. Because I want you to get it. And I want it to change your life. The same Jesus, came to Jesus by the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, I cry out to a multitude of you. Who've never been saved. You're religious. You're in church. You may be a preacher. You may sing in the choir. You may be an usher. You may be an elder. You may be a deacon. I don't know what you may be. But have you been born again? Have you had a new life? Have you turned from the self life? When you get up in the morning, are you going to do what you want to do or what you know God wants you to do? When you get up Monday, how are you going to live? When Monday evening comes and the day's work is finished, how are you going to spend the evening? In a beer parlor somewhere? Somewhere with a prostitute in a hotel somewhere, just doing the evil of this world, drinking your booze and living like the world? If you live the self life, you know you're not living the God life. Do you understand that? Oh, I want to say it all so clear. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born a second time? How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water, that's the word of God, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the word of God, and then by the blood of Jesus, it changes you, makes a new person out of you. Because you repented, then the blood of Jesus breaks the power of those sins that you were bound for. How can I quit smoking? You get good and saved, and you won't want to smoke. How can I quit drinking? You get good and saved, and you won't want to drink. How can I quit being a fornicator? You get good and saved, and such things as that will be nasty to you, and you'll turn away from them to the one that you love. Of your sweetheart wife or your sweetheart husband. Listen to me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if some preacher preaches to you that you don't have to have a special experience, it's just a matter of you believing and God does it without you feeling a thing, he is wrong. He is not telling you the truth. I pray God will forgive him. It's probably because he's never been born again or she's never been born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Boy, that's plain. That which is born of flesh from the womb of mother is flesh. That which is born of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Ghost, that's spirit. See, no man can be saved without the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in when you are saved. He takes up residence. He takes up residence. As one great Baptist preacher said, when I got saved, he was resident. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, he was president. Could I say that again? Great Baptist preacher. Oh, he's a good one too. He said, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit was resident. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was president. Hallelujah. That's a beautiful way to say it. I loved it from the moment I heard him say it. Oh, listen to me now. Listen to me. God wants to change your life. God wants to make a new creature out of you. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born again. Now, I want to open the lines. I've got plenty to say. I mean, I can talk the whole hour easily. I have the tendency to do that. But I want questions because I want to help you understand what I'm saying. So every one of you, there's a phone. I'm going to put them up for just a moment now. So you got to grab them quick. 1-704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. The other is a toll-free number anywhere in America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. Now, you grab your phone. I want you to call quickly because I have a real excitement about answering calls. I love to answer telephone calls on this program. I love to do it because I think of all the people who want to ask questions and they don't have the courage to do it. And so they don't do it, and you're doing it for them. How about everybody out there who's ever called, and you can handle calling, and you're not, I'm not going to identify you. I'm not going to try to figure out who you are. I may could if your name comes up, but I'm not going to look. I don't have time to look on the phones for names. I just want to help you and help everybody listening to us and get this message deep into their minds and their hearts so that they will turn to Christ and this wonderful Easter weekend, this great Resurrection Sunday, can be the water day of your life. It can be the transforming moment of your life. I was saved in March. This is the last day of March. You hearing me? I was saved in March 66 years ago. 66, 1952, 16-year-old Brett. 16-year-old lying, cheating, cussing little kid. And he changed me so utterly, I have been his ever since. It's that wonderful. If you ever get good and born again, you ain't going to want nothing else. You really aren't. There is no way a born-again Christian can want to go back to that life if they've really been born again. If they've really got a hold of the rock, if they've really dug into to the anchor hole and got their hands on the cross and their hands in the hands of him who rules this earth. When you get your hands in the hands of him who is the master of all, there is nothing like it on the face of this. Okay, take the names away now. You grab a phone. I want to hear from you. You are important. I want you to call. Well, I didn't get it done that time. I have to be so careful. I do. Hallelujah. Now call. Real quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now, I want to go to Romans 3:23. There's so much I want to say, and then I'm going to move quickly on to some other great things that I want you to get a hold of. If you can get a hold of these, you're going to want to be a Christian. I really believe what I'm saying can make you want to be a Christian. When I read these things, I want to be one all over again. When I read the truth in the Bible, I just want to start all over, do it again. Great day. I've loved it all these years. There is nothing in the world like being a born-again Christian. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I really want to emphasize that. For all, this is the Bible now, have sinned and come short. This is Jesus talking. Now, he's the highest authority there is ever spoke on this earth. Listen to me now. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Listen now, being justified freely by his grace. Do you know what grace is? Grace, now listen, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Have you ever heard that? I hope you'll write that down. G-R-A-C-E, that's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. He, by his expense, will take you into his family and wash you from your sins and forgive you of all you've repented of and make a new man out of you, a new woman out of you, and you will be a brand new person. Now, the lines are open, and I'm expecting you to get on those phones and give me a call. If you're listening by Facebook, you can call me on the telephone and keep watching your Facebook and hear yourself. Don't cut it up loud or ricochet back on top of us. You got to probably cut it down once I put you on the line, and I will answer your question and hopefully help you and hundreds of others. You may be a sinner saying, what must I do to be saved? Remember, they asked that question on the Pentecost. What must we do to be saved? And 3,000 got saved. 3,000. Wouldn't it be something if somebody would ask me that today and 3,000 would get saved? What must I do to be saved? Just turn from the self-life. Turn from this life to that life. When you turn, truly turn from this life to him, I'm here to tell you, he's not going to turn you away. He's not going to say no to you. He's not going to leave you where you're at. You may not have the assurance of it immediately. It may be a few days. It may be an hour. It may be in a morning when the choir is singing it at a church somewhere. Who knows when it might be? But when you turn your life to Him and you mean it, and you hang in there, and I mean, you do it with all your heart, and then you trust Him to make the difference. He's the difference between you turning your life to Christ and then you being a born-again Christian. That's what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. I love that verse. For being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in. Through the redemption. You know what redeem means, redemption. You can redeem something that you've lost. If you find, somebody finds it and you go and take them, you know, your name and assurance, they'll be glad to give you what you lost. Well, most of you have a lost soul, and Jesus wants to redeem it. He wants to bring it into the family of God. You've been living for the devil maybe all your life, maybe many years. Maybe you're an old man. Maybe you're 84, older than me. Maybe you're 90, older than me. You know, if you will turn to Christ, He will save you. Today, you can be a new creature for Christ. And if you just member of the church and you're not sure, get on your knees and repent with all you got and give all of self to Him, and He'll help you know what's right. And He'll lead, He'll change you, and He'll make a new person out of you, whom God has set forth to be the perpetuation. Listen to that. This is speaking of Christ, whom God have sent forth to be the perpetuation. You know what that word perpetuation, I wish I could put it up on the face for you to see it. Perpetuation. It means the mercy seat. He is the perpetuation for you. He is the perpetuation through faith in His blood, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Isn't that something? Now that's in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 23, 24, 25, whom God has set forth, speaking of Christ, to be the propitiation, the mercy seat for your sins. The place to go to get mercy from your sins. The place to go to be forgiven and to be redeemed and to become a child of the King. Now, I'm halfway through, and I'm about a third of the way through my notes. I want you to try to grab this. Let me go to Romans 6 a minute. I've got others in here. I'm going to skip some things. I'm waiting on your call now. So grab your phone. Grab your phone, and you ask me something that you know maybe somebody might want to ask and can't, or maybe something you need to hear. The phones are open now, right now. Grab your phone. The ladies are standing by, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. That's the local number here in this church, 704-391-0588. And then the toll-free 1-800-33-TRUTH. You can't forget that one. 1-800-33-TRUTH. T-R-U-T-H. 33-87-884. 87-884. Now let me read to you in Romans 6. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Now listen to this. Boy, this is really contrary to what a lot of preachers are preaching today. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What shall we say then? This is Jesus talking. This, through Apostle Paul, of course, talking. This is the Holy Ghost giving this to Apostle Paul through the Christ. And now it's us reading it, hearing it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, that grace might get bigger because our sins are bigger? Some people think the more I sin, the better the grace is. No, that didn't come from God. I'll tell you that. God forbid. Now, Paul, by the Holy Ghost, is answering his own question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Did you hear that? How shall we that are dead to sin? I'm not dead to sin. I know you hadn't been saved then. When you get saved, you're going to look at sin and say, "Ooh, not me. I don't want that." You're going to look at a bottle of beer and say, "Not me. I don't need that. I've got Jesus." You're going to look at all the things of the world. You're going to say, "Not me. I don't need them. I've got Jesus." Now, I read it again. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Are you listening? Romans 6, that's 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not The Holy Ghost talking, I know you're not, that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ. That's what happens when you get saved now. Water baptism comes a little later. But this is the baptism, this is using the word as a great word of information. Baptized. How many of us baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? See, that's why the new birth is so important, is because you are baptized into his death, but then you are resurrected through his life. That's the beauty of death and resurrection. One without the other would be incomplete and helpless. You can't preach the cross without preaching the resurrection, and you can't preach the resurrection without preaching the cross. They are bound together, inseparable. You cannot separate them. You're baptized into his death. That's the crucifixion, but you're resurrected into his life, and that is the resurrection. Are you ready for it? My gracious, there's somebody listening to me right now that probably is saying, I want that. Well, here it is. You can have it. Give yourself to Christ. Turn from your sins and turn to him, and he'll change you from your head down to your toes. He'll make a new creature out of you. He'll turn your life upside down. Now, let me stop right here. I got so much. But I want to give you this booklet that has all this good information in it. This is written in a booklet that I have written, and it will be on the internet at paulcreek.org, but you can order your copy. It will fit right into your Bible. We put these in a booklet form so that they can be right in your Bible, this size right here, and you can order it right now, and the latest, it will be sent to you maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. We closed on Monday, a holiday, but it'll be sent Tuesday, Wednesday, and you'll have a booklet of this. And you can read it. You can take it, Pastor, and use it as an outline and preach it. I will be happy for that. And you don't have to give them my name. You really don't. I just want it preached all over the world. I want everybody to hear it. I want you to get a copy. Now get on your phones right now. My ladies, she don't want to come here, the ladies, and just be here and no results. If you don't call, then they just sit in there and listen. I want them to get your calls. I know my booklets are all over the world. I know our material has been sent to so many places that the people who normally listen know you have these things, and I send them out to you. But this one is a new one. You don't have this. You really don't. The name of it now, I want you to hear this name again. It's Repentance Turning from the Self-Life. Repentance Turning from the Self-Life. Now, I got to skip some things here. I may can come back. I would like to tell you in the morning, I'm preaching on 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. That has been the scripture of revival in almost every great awakening that's ever been. If my people, which are called by my name, will turn from their wicked ways, if they will pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their lands. That's a promise, and I'm preaching that in the morning. I wish everybody out there would hear that sermon in the morning. I wish you would come and hear it. You say, I can order. I want you to come hear it. I want you to hear it. I'm telling you, we're at the hour that we've got to have a sovereign move from God, and we're believing for that. We've had prayer at this place all week. We had all night prayer last night. Night before last. We've had great prayers morning after morning, evening after evening. I mean, people weeping and sobbing. The Bible makes it plain when the church weeps and wails and cries out, God will move and bring the children in. I mean, and when I say children, I mean people being saved, young and old. We are hungry for that. Now, what I want to do, I'm skipping everything I can, because I want to hear from you now. Call quickly. Let our secretary take your name and address and order this booklet. Very, very important. Do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. And we got four lines, so there's plenty of room for you to call, and we will send it to you with delight and with joy, okay? We want to change your life. We want to help you. We want you to be saved. And I do want you to come hear that sermon in the morning, my Resurrection Sunday sermon. What a sermon to preach on Resurrection Sunday. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And did you know something? That 2 Chronicles 7, chapter 7, is the same chapter in which the temple in Jerusalem was dedicated by Solomon, and the Holy Ghost invaded that building until Solomon and the priest couldn't even go in. because God had saturated and filled it up. And we know that's what's fixing to happen again. God is going to start manifesting himself. God's going to start making himself known. We're on our face for that. Many others are. And we believe God's going to visit us again. You know, we could see America turned upside down. We could see this ungodly crowd put to the side, and God could move and show us his righteousness, and multitudes of our sons and daughters and our neighbors could get saved. And wouldn't that be something wonderful? Now, I'm going over here. I'm passing up so much. The crucified life. Let me say something about the crucified life. The crucified life is a surrendered life. The crucified life is a prayer life. The crucified life is a Bible study life. The crucified life is a church-centered life. Those four things will always be present in a crucified life. When you give up self and come to Christ, you will be surrendered. Take up your cross and follow me daily is what Jesus said. You will take up your cross and you will start following him. The self life will be on the shelf. The self-life will be at the altar. The self-life will be said no to. And you will live a surrendered life. And you will live a prayer life. When you really get right with God, prayer becomes a joy. Man, how much, I mean, really a joy. I think it was Thursday. I believe, if I recall rightly, God helped me to spend about 8 or 9 hours in prayer that day. And it was just overwhelming. Many of you, I was praying for you. I was praying for every one of my Facebook listeners. I've got nearly 5,000 friends, and I take you to God with all my heart and pray for you. I'm just an ordinary man. I'm saved only by grace. If Jesus didn't help me, I wouldn't be of no value. I am only saved by the grace of God. I live right only because the sprinkling of the blood day by day and by surrendering my life. So a surrendered life, then a prayer life, and then a Bible study life. You love that Bible with a passion when you really get saved. You put self-life on the side and let him give you the real life, the God life. You see, that's what he does. He puts it in you. He imputes it to you, then he imparts it to you. It's a wonderful life, and he wants you to have it. He really does. Now, again, you're not calling. We've had a few calls, but I want you to call. I want you to have this booklet. Right now, grab your phone. Right now, preacher, get the copy of this for your own self, for your own life, and then preach it if you will. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I'm going to put that number up again because I know there are people listening today that have probably never listened before. And I want you to call because I want you to get right with God. I want you to be saved. I want you to repent of your sins. I want you to turn from them. I'm telling you that repentance is turning away from the self-life. Turning away. You say, I'm not a bad person. That's not what I'm talking about. Turning away from the self-life. You may be as saintly as Christians as far as how you live. You may never cuss and swear, and you may never do the ugly things that many people do. You're still not saved until the blood of Jesus saves you. You still have a self-life that will be eternally lost without the saving blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now, I'm waiting for your call because I want everybody out there to know what it means to get rid of the self-life and to come to Christ and to know the Christ life. Are you called? And do it quickly. Remember four things: a surrendered life, a prayer life, a Bible study life, and a church life. Now, let's talk about, and in this last time, and this about finish me up today, hopefully you'll begin to call and ask me about this. But let me give you some expressions of the self-life. Every one of these are somewhat different, familiar, close alike, but number one is unbelief. If you cannot believe God, if you have no faith to trust God, the Bible makes unbelief a major sin. Unbelief a major sin in the Bible. So if you cannot believe, if you do not trust God, if you don't know that God is faithful, if you refuse to put your confidence in God, that's called unbelief, and that is a self-life way of living. That is a very selfish way of living. And so you will never rise above what you can make out of yourself. And you may be pretty successful. You may make a lot of money. You may have a lot of pleasure. You may do a lot of things that some people can do. You may die with more toys than you can imagine. But if you don't know Christ, you're lost eternally. That's part of it, the unbelief. Now, number two is pride. God cannot change a prideful person. You have got to get rid of pride. Now, the Holy Ghost said to me this week, God don't use no showboat. There are no such thing as showboat preachers that God's using. And God don't need the showboat singers either. And God don't need anybody that's doing nothing but showing their pride in themselves. If you've got great abilities, give them to God. Ask him to sanctify you from the pridefulness. And then let God use those things for you and through you and in you. And him get all the glory. And him get all the praise. Because pride is a self-life attitude. A self-life walk. Number one was unbelief. Number two is pride. Number three is an evil heart. A heart that just gets mad and chews people out. A heart that screams at the person in front of you on the highway. The heart that is always angry with somebody. Always jealous about something. Always envious about somebody who's got more money than you got. Are always full of resentment and bitterness. And somebody's always getting on your nerves. That evil life will take you to hell, friend. But the self-life is where that is. And when you repent of Christ and turn from the self-life to the Christ life, he will free you of that. You say, well, I'm saved, but I still have trouble. Well, I'm saved, and I still have to repent and call on him and believe him for his righteousness. That's part of living for Christ. That's why I said we Christians need to repent as much as the sinners need to repent, because what's in us of the flesh is of no value, but it's living in repentance and surrender to Christ that keeps his grace flowing. Keeps his grace coming in. Keeps his mercy overshadowing me and protecting me. So remember, unbelief. And then number two, a prideful life. And then an evil heart. An evil heart. Oh, my friend, an evil heart will take you to hell, and it'll make you miserable while you're going. I see so many people going to hell, and they're having a hellish time trying to go to hell. I mean, they're full of the devil, and so they're living for the devil, miserable, angry, upset. Life is just a horrible thing. Don't live in that life any longer. That's self-life. That's what self-life's doing to you. So turn to Christ. Turn to the Savior. Turn to the Redeemer, the great God. And then number four is refusing God. God wants you. Oh, you say, I'm living for myself, and I'm busy, and I love my job, and I got a lot of money. My bank roll is big, and I'm saving for my retirement. You know, I know so many people who saved for their retirement and died as soon as they retired. There's a multitude of those kind. I mean, it's overwhelming. Had a preacher tell me, don't leave the denomination because you've got so many wonderful benefits awaiting you. You're almost at retirement. And I wouldn't listen to him. And we both retired. He was in the hospital before you knew it. Was out of his mind almost with a horrible stroke. And I spent my time visiting him and trying to be a blessing to him. But you see, I said, no. I don't care about retirement. I'm not planning to retire. I'm planning to live for Christ until my toes turn up. I want to be here. So refusing God, that's a big thing. Are you refusing God? Have you said no to God over and over and over and over again? You know what? I got to quit talking so you'll call. You can't call because you're listening. Is that true? Probably is with a lot of you. Now grab your phone. I got 15 minutes to answer 15 questions. I can do one a minute. 15 questions in 15 minutes. Grab your phone. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. Maybe somebody would like to call and say, I want to get saved right now, and I can help you get saved. Pray with you, tell you what to do, and you get saved. And then maybe 100 others, or maybe more than that around, will say, hey, I need this too. There's a lot of you that need to be saved right now. If I could count the multitude that need to be saved right now, it would overwhelm every one of you. It would be overwhelming to you. I'm telling you, Jesus is calling, and people are saying no because they're refusing him, because they love their own life too much. They love their own life too much. They love their own life too much. Well, I'm going to give you the number again. I don't know. I want you to call. I really want to get the message to you. And maybe all my listeners are saved. I don't know. I really don't know that. I have no way of knowing. I hope everybody, I would like for everybody out there to be saved anyway. I want you to be saved. I want you to know the Lord. But the hour is late, friend. The hour is extremely late. And the coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord. Well, let's talk about other things that are the self-life. Remember, refusing Christ. Refusing God, refusing His correction, refusing when you read the Ten Commandments, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And you say, no, I want to go to the ball games on Sunday. I'm going to spend my Sunday down on the beaches. I'm going to spend my Sunday here and there. Yeah, go ahead. Refuse God. But remember, that's the self life. That's not the life going to heaven. The life going to heaven is not a self life. It's a Christ life. That's as simple as I can ever tell you what a Christian is and is not. The self life is not a Christian. The Christ life is a Christian. They've given themselves and His life is in them. The bubbling of the soul is just an overwhelming experience. And then refusing a godly minister. People don't listen to preachers anymore. Well, I don't blame most people from listening to most preachers. I must confess, I remember the day when I first got saved. When if you met a minister, you met a man of God. I mean, almost every time. Good man, God called. All my early Christian life, I got saved in 52. And constantly you hear people saying, don't you even talk about being a preacher if you're not called of God. Now, your mama can't call you, and your daddy can't call you, and your wife can't call you. God's got to call you. You know, and I heard that so often and so deep, and it rested and got a hold of me. I didn't want to preach but for no reason but that God was calling me. I was so tongue-tied, they laughed at me when I said I was going to be a preacher. You can't preach. All you can do is talk a tongue-tied talk. You know, the doctor tipped my tongue, but T.O.T. talked no better. I remember saying words like that. Oh, but God made the difference. Oh, but Reverend Chambers, you can't even read. You don't know English. And they're right. I was nothing but a school dropout. I knew how to plow with old Pete, the mule that Daddy put me behind. And I knew how to try to drive the tractor, but I broke it so many times he didn't want me on it. But I got saved. And it changed everything else. And I started learning to read, you know, and started digging in. But we need ministers that you can listen to, that you want to listen to. I'm going to tell you something. You can trust this preacher, because I'm not going to tell you something that's not right. I made a lot of people angry with me because I told them the truth and they didn't like it. And I don't have no other choice. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth if it hair lips the devil, as you've heard people say. Because the truth alone will get you inside those gates. The truth alone. Remember now, reverence your pastor. Reverence your parents. Don't ever be unkind. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth. Did you know that's one of the Ten Commandments? Did you know that? You don't honor your parents, you can't claim to be a Christian. No way, friend. No way. We live in a day when the honoring of parents has gone down the road. I mean, there's almost nobody that cares a flip for their mamas and daddies anymore. It's wonderful when you find a family that really love their parents, that really care and would do anything, sacrifice anything for mom and dad. When you're really right with God, you will. I'm telling you, no ifs and ends about it. Hate correction. We live in a generation of people that's uncorrectable. They cannot stand correction. They're not willing to be told you're wrong. They're not willing to be told you got to change this. You got to do this different. You got to live differently. If you don't respect correction, then you're void of wisdom. You're void of understanding. Read the book of Proverbs. It'll tell you how important wisdom is, how important correction is. We all need it. I've had to have it many times. I still get correction sometimes. I've got preachers I love, and I beg them, correct me when you see me wrong. Don't you let me go a wrong way and you not look me in the face and tell me. I tell them that with all I mean, because I know the frailty of human flesh, and my flesh is as frail as your flesh. And we must learn never to trust your own righteousness and your own feeling that you are some kind of somebody special, governed by the Holy Spirit. You know, we live in a world that's grieving the Holy Spirit. I get amazed at how much grief I see coming at the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit trying to bring you to the cross. It's the Holy Spirit trying to get these words that Brother Chambers is saying today into your mind so that you'll get right with God. And some of you are right now grieving the Holy Spirit. You're saying, I don't want that way of life. I don't want to live that. Some of you already cut me off, and that's okay. So you don't know I'm saying it now. That's okay. It's in God's hands. But I'm telling you, it's later than you think. It's later than you think. Well, I've got 10 minutes, and so how about some calls? Let me answer a question. How many of you like what I've said? Let me hear some words of direction to me. Are we saying the truth? Are we on target? Let's let the audience know that you understand what I'm saying and that you feel the same desire to declare this old-fashioned word. Call quickly, 704-391-0588. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to hear from you. I want to send you this booklet. I really do. I want every one of you to have this booklet. Every one of you to have this booklet. All about repentance and turning from the self-life. Turning from the self-life. How you can turn from the self-life. How you can turn to the Christ life. And what a blessedness. And what a joy it will bring upon you. Now, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians while you're calling. And then I'm going to go to Romans 8, I believe. I think that'll be better. Romans 8. That's a powerful chapter of the born-again Christian life. It is just overwhelming. The book of Romans, chapter 8, let's begin here with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore, listen to that. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You feel condemned today? You feel all out of whack that you're not what you ought to be and want to be? You're tired of your careless life? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice that. Walk not after the flesh. That's the self life. But after the Spirit. That's the Christ life. See, just what I've been saying. That's Romans 8:1. It's powerful. I mean, the Bible backs up everything I've said to you today and backs it up big time. I haven't said a thing that's not in the Scripture. I don't dare say things that's not in the Scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Not those who believe on Christ Jesus, but those who believe in Christ Jesus. There's millions that believe on Him that have never believed in Him. There are millions that believe on Him. They know He's real, but they've never believed in Him. They've never gave Him their life. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. You got to hear that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The flesh, the self-life, who walk not after the self-life, but they walk after the spiritual life. They walk not after the self-life. They're walking after the spiritual life. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be saved. You've left the self-life, and you've turned your life over to the Spirit life, the life of Christ, the life of His grace. Call quickly. I want to answer. I really do. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath cleansed me, hath freed me from the law of sin and death. Listen to that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has purified me and set me free from the law of sin and death. See, there's a law in our member called sin and death. That's the self-life. The law of sin and death. That's the self-life. But the Lord Jesus, in His grace, has made me free from the law of sin and death, that I might live the life of spiritual surrender, of spiritual grace, that I might serve and know the Lord. For what the law could not do, what the law could not do, that's the Old Testament law, what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, through the flesh, God sending His own Son. If anybody tries to tell you that Jesus is the fullness of the Trinity and that there's not a Father and there's not a Holy Spirit, they're preaching a very false doctrine to you, and you need to turn from it with all of your heart. If you're in that doctrine, you need to say no to it. How could God send His Son if God is the Son? And how could God be up there taking care of everything while the Son was down here on the earth if it wasn't true? I mean, it just isn't so. It just isn't so. You are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, let me go back here. You are on the air. May I help you, please? Are you there? Well, there's supposed to be somebody there, but I'm getting the radio. You're on the air. May I help you, please? All right, maybe they'll call back. Call back, friend. For some reason, I'm not picking you up here. I'm trying hard. You on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. Are you there? Well, nobody's there. I'm sorry. Give us a call back. I'd love to talk to you. I'm here to do my best to help you and minister to you. I want nobody to be left out. I really don't. I love answering questions on a program like this. Because I know that when I get involved with you in a question, everybody is listening to what you're asking and what I'm saying. And that really makes conversation wonderful. So let's spend these last 5 minutes doing that. If we would. Call back, please. Call back, please. I don't know what happened. Some people get really scared of radio and talk show, and they won't call. And I understand that. And I think I'm kind enough. I hope I am. If I would ever be unkind, no, I can't even stand the thoughts of doing that. I want to be so gentle to you and so kind, and I want you to be able to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. While you're calling, let me read another verse here. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus came as a man. He came representing God, but as a man. And he came because he wants you to have his grace and his mercy in your life. Well, the lines are open, and you're not calling, but I'll read on. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, all that righteous standard of the Old Testament law, it can now be fulfilled in us by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And they couldn't keep the Ten Commandments like they needed to. They had to come back every year and offer a sacrifice. God will help you keep the Ten Commandments. He'll help you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He'll help you abstain from adultery and fornication. He'll help you keep the Sabbath day holy and love the house of God. Wonderful things. For to be carnally minded is death. Now I'm trying to tell you that repentance is turning away from the self life. And here he says, for to be carnally minded, which is the self life, for to be carnally minded is death. There's death in this old flesh. There's death in me obeying myself. There's death in me living as I please to live. There's death in me being disobedient to God's laws. There's death in that. And I don't want it. I want you to have this life, which is in Christ, which is triumphant, which is mighty, which is wonderful. Well, keep hoping for another call, and I'd love to answer you, but I care about you. I really do. Now, it's been wonderful to talk to you today, and I've given you my best. I've given you an unusual Bible study. It's not been a sermon, although you may think I'd preached it like a sermon, but I hope I didn't. I wanted you to grab what it means to repent of sin and turn wholly and fully to Christ. What I'd love to see about 100 of you right here tomorrow giving your life to Christ. You need a church that preaches the old-fashioned truth. Most churches just want you to come down, shake the preacher's hand, and they don't open the altar. There's nobody crying and weeping in the altar. You need to come to the altar and get on your knees and turn from your sins. Ask the Father to forgive you and to save you and to make a new creature out of you. I was saved when the church was on fire, when the altars was full of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and that's what we're praying and believing. And what's happening in our altar right now is God is moving, and we're determined to have a mighty move of God, a mighty move of God, a move of God that will change everything. It's been a joy, friend. I know my time is leaving me here, and I gotta go. I love you. Jesus is coming. I mean, his coming is at the door. Are you hearing me? His coming is at the door. Any moment now, the Son of God could appear. And I want you to be ready when he comes. I want you to be ready when he comes. When he comes, it'll be a glorious moment. God bless you. Be with us tomorrow. We'd love to have you in the house of God. Well, let me see if I've got a new machine here, and I can't always see it as well. And so I'm having to try to find everything. It's brand new, and the reading is small. Oh, God bless you in the name of the Lord, that his grace can cover your life. I don't know what I'm doing.
For the Lord and right, keep on the firing line.
God bless you.
And if you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. And there are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disaster. disgrace. And coward in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil, and never run, nor even lag behind. And if you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. And God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. And if you bear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the firing line. And life is but to labor for the master dear, and help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. And great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil.